Kathy, who's calling us from Tacoma. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Dr. Wright. Thank you for taking my call. And I want to say I always learn so much from listening to your show. I very much appreciate it. My question is, I'm calling for my 85-year-old mother, and she has really bad leg cramps at night. We wake her up, and she then has to get up and try and shake it out or rub it out. She always takes a lot of magnesium, which comes back to haunt her in the morning, but it really hasn't helped. I was wondering, she's on warfarin, and she might be on a blood pressure medicine. I'm not sure, but I know she's been on warfarin, and she's had acid reflux for decades and was on PPIs for like 20 years, and she finally just kind of stopped taking them. Is there anything that she's missing or she could take for the leg cramps?
Yes, ma'am, but let's get to something you said, which may be partial, at least a partial clue. She takes magnesium, but she pays for it in the morning. What mm-hmm. that means is, of course, for most of us, is that the magnesium is causing just a little bit of loose bowels or something like that. Now, here's the thing. There's a publication done by Dr. Stephen Davies from the UK, which was entitled Magnesium-Induced Magnesium Deficiency. And I'm not kidding you, ma'am. Magnesium-Induced Magnesium Deficiency. What he found is that some people, when they went over what their own body's limit for magnesium was, would cause what he politely termed gastrointestinal hurry, which just means things are rushing through like it sounds like they are for your mom. And when things rush through that rapidly, the magnesium isn't absorbed, and so you get magnesium deficiency from taking too much magnesium. That can happen. I've worked with people who've done that to themselves, and it sounds like maybe that's happening here. So what does one do? Well, sometimes one has to visit a doctor and get magnesium by intravenous injection, but that's kind of a last resort. One of the first things to do is quit all that magnesium by mouth and go get one of the magnesium oils or jellies. They got magnesium gel, they got oil, and every one of the compounding pharmacies and even Costco has got Epsom salts, and you start rubbing in magnesium gel or magnesium oil, particularly over the muscles that like to cramp a lot, and sometimes, and it's about a 50-50, that soaks in, it's taken up, and what do you know, after you've done that a while, the cramps stop happening. There's another thing one can do, and that's get the Epsom salts and either soak one's legs in Epsom salts or go take an Epsom salt bath at least every other day. You just lay in that bathtub, watch TV, read a book, whatever you want to do, but it's got nice hot water with all those Epsom salts in it, and that soaks in to the entire body, and that's another way of getting it into the body that gets around this business of magnesium-induced magnesium deficiency, ma'am.
So she has tried all of that. And she okay. had the cramps before she started taking the magnesium.
Okay.
She took the magnesium because she heard it relieves.
Okay. Well, she's right. And so does potassium if she hasn't tried that. Potassium can relieve them too. And then I learned from Adele Davis back in the good grief 60s when she referred to a scientific paper that found that, what do you know, for a very few of us, vitamin E stops leg cramps. So if she hasn't tried that, that's another thing to try. And it was a research paper using 400 or 500 units of mixed tocopherols a day. So that's a possibility. Potassium is a possibility. But here's another thing, ma'am. Sometimes when the level of magnesium inside of the cell has dropped below a certain critical threshold, we can take all the Epsom salt baths and swallow all the magnesium we want to, and whatever the biochemical mechanism is that takes the magnesium from outside the cell to inside the cell, and you probably know the concentration inside the cell is 16 times roughly what it is outside the cell, so that's quite a gradient to work against. Anyway, whatever that little biochemical mechanism is quits working. It just quits working, and we can't get enough intracellular magnesium, and so things are going to go crampity, cramp, crampity, cramp all the time. All right, well, some other researchers found out what to do about that. Now, we do this at Tahoma Clinic a lot because we work with a lot of people with intractable leg cramps. They finally come on into the clinic, and what we have to do is we have to put magnesium into an IV, and I'm not kidding. It's a little uncomfortable. In fact, for some of us, it's a lot uncomfortable. But it has to be pushed into the veins as rapidly as the person can stand the heat, because it dilates all the blood vessels and we get really hot and sweaty, and we sometimes have to tell the IV technician stop for a while. And that is such a wave of magnesium that it forces itself inside the cells. And what we found over the years, we've been doing this for years since the research came out, is that we need to do that 3 times a week for 2 weeks. And that gets enough into the cells that the leg cramps stop. Or here's a famous one at our clinic anyway. People who are over 65 will come in and say, I keep getting these spasms in my esophagus and the food gets stuck. Okay, you go down to the IV room, get those three IVs twice a week, it'll quit. And it does, because it forces the magnesium into the cells, but you cannot force it in any other way, rubbing it on, swallowing it, nothing. She may be in that circumstance where her inside-the-cell magnesium is so low that it needs to be forced right back in, and yes, it does make a sweat, but this would not be at all unusual at her age.
Okay. All right. Would her acid reflux and being on PPIs or warfarin have anything to do with this?
Absolutely, ma'am. PPIs cause... I get so mad when I hear about that, because this has been in research literature for at least the last decade. They cause malnutrition. What they do is they stop all the stomach acid. And without the stomach acid, we don't digest protein. We can't get the minerals out of the organic matrix in the food. And so we actually are malnourished by that protein pump inhibitor. We're badly malnourished. And sometimes that requires other IVs to make up for that. But right now I'd focus on the magnesium.
Okay. All right. So it might be that she just needs to come in and have the IV if she's tried. Oh, she can try that. I'll have her try the vitamin E.
Yeah, give it a try. It works occasionally. I can't tell you it works every time. Mm-hmm. It's an occasional less than 10% thing, but when it works good and it doesn't hurt anything.
Okay. If that doesn't work, then we are looking at the IV. And I just want to ask one more quick question. Is there anything you can do for cataracts besides surgery?
Sure. Ton of things. And why nobody wants to tell you, I guess, is simply because they haven't read the studies, or maybe it's got something to do with hospitals making money from surgeries. You never know. The studies show that there's something called, and it's in all the natural food stores, the compounding pharmacies, the home clinic dispensary, but they can't tell you on the label what it's for, because FDA will get them if they tell you. I'm not kidding. There's no freedom of speech, even about science. In healthcare, there just isn't. Anyway, it's called CAN-C. It's an eye drop, and if we catch the cataract in early to mid stages, it will usually stop it. If it's early enough, it'll reverse it. And that's just one thing, ma'am. Now, here's another one. And that is called CAN-C eye drops, and you'll find them in all those stores. Here's another one. An ophthalmologic surgeon with a very good sense of humor, and I guess an honest guy, wrote a letter to the Texas Medical Journal. It was a letter to the editor. And in that letter to the editor, guess what he wrote? He wrote, I want to warn all my fellow ophthalmologists that since I've been having all my patients with early cataracts take 50,000 units of vitamin A a day, my income from cataract surgery has gone down by 2/3.
Oh, wow. Is that any kind of vitamin A? Because I know there's vitamin A that comes in the carotene.
No, that won't work. It has to be the vitamin A itself. And there's the one that absorbs the best in our experience, and no, we're not associated with this company at all, is made by Biotics Company, Biotics Research, B-I-O-T-I-C-S, Research. And again, that's in all the natural food stores, the compounding pharmacies, the Tahoma dispensary.
And
it's a drop.
Will it hurt your liver at all? It won't build up in your liver?
Of course, it'll build up in your liver. That's where we want it to build up. And if we don't go to 200,000 units a day, the only person that 50,000 units a day is going to hurt is a fetus. So pregnant mommies never take that much. Never, ever, ever. But otherwise, vitamin A gives a signal if we're overdosing on it. And we're adults, we get little headaches because it raises the cerebrospinal fluid pressure. And look, I work with so many adults who take 50,000 units a day, and the headache is rare, and it boosts the immune system. They don't get as many infections, but it also helps cut down this poor surgeon's income from cataract surgery.
Oh, okay. So, but it has to be that kind of, not the other one doesn't work at all. The
beta carotene does not work nearly as well. The older we get, the less well we transform beta carotene into vitamin A, ma'am. So okay. I'd be looking for the
I've got both of them, but I was actually trying to figure out for my mother again because she has only one eye, and that one eye has a bad cataract in it. So
yeah. Okay. Well, you can at least keep her from getting the other eye.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your help. We'll look into all of this stuff then.
And thank you for calling, ma'am.